Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sugrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSugrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And surprise, surprise, we're back again for a Wednesday from 8 to 10, South Florida High School Sports.com Radio. Larry Bluestein with you, as I said, for the next 2 hours. And this is going to be fun because we just got back to playing this week. Everybody's making up the games. If you could believe it, the high school football fields have been packed the last two nights. On Monday night, you had 34 area games. You had another nine last night. And you're finishing up, trying to finish up the games that Hurricane Irma took away. So obviously, that's where we've been. Trying to do some guesswork on what games are coming up, but we'll have that schedule for you tomorrow. If you follow along with our South Florida High School Sports.com, that's South Florida High School Sports.com website, we have something every day, two, three things every day, 10 to 12 new items, whether it be in the huddles, some blogs. Now we have schedules. We had our rankings today for the week, top 15 in South Florida, Miami, Dade, and Broward counties. So we have a lot going on there. So go over there when the show is finished, or you could do it now if you're listening on your computer at home, and check out all the great stuff we have. And it's outstanding. We have a tremendous amount of blogs and information on all the games coming up. And as I said, we'll start the next week, which is week six, because we kind of like compacted. Some teams played Thursday, came back and played Monday, and now they're going to play again on Thursday or Friday this week. So you're talking three games, eight, 9 days, which is, that's what has to happen now. If you follow high school football, especially in South Florida or throughout the state of Florida, everything's based on the points now. You get points for this. I mean, yeah, there's still districts in the bigger schools, and everything's based on the region. Top eight teams in the region, district champions, all go. But this ensures you're not going to have any 2-8 teams in the first round. And we talked about that when it first broke 8-9 months ago. So that's where we're at. Everybody wants to play. Everybody can play. And our show tonight is going to be outstanding. I'm telling you, we have 2 hours. The first hour, we're just going to talk about recruiting. We're going to have Florida Gators, Florida State Seminoles. Hopefully, we'll get that game in this week. We'll talk to Brandon Sinone of Knoll 247. He'll come on in a few minutes, talk about just the impact of those players that are, getting after it a little bit, and, seeing who's invited this week, which recruits are invited to the game, and who he's heard. And certainly a lot of these kids are coming down between Florida State and Miami. So that would be, great to check in. We'll talk to Brandon about 8:20, 8:05 in just a few minutes. So we'll talk to Jackie Franciulli. She is from Florida Gators. That's the scout, the media group. And I'll tell you what, they do some tremendous stuff. We'll find out exactly, talk about some of the kids from South Florida who are doing well for the Gators. You see it. C.J. Henderson, couple picks for touchdowns. Marco Wilson already getting it done. Voshawn Joseph. So you have a lot of kids from Gainesville that going for it. So we'll talk to Jackie in just a few minutes. Also in our first segment at 8 o'clock, about 8:30 or so, Andrew Ivins. And if you follow University of Miami recruiting, this is somebody that you need to follow, and also on a daily basis. He'll have a list of all the kids that are, you know, maybe going to that game this week as well. And Andrew's from 247 Sports, and we'll talk about Miami Hurricanes, some of the guys. He follows every one of the kids that who committed, plus all the kids that they're going after. So that's exciting as well. And about 8:45, good friend of ours, Corey Bender from Scout Media as well. Corey's outstanding what he does, and you know, he covers the entire state as well, and he fills us in as well. Our second hour is going to be just as good. We'll talk, as we said today, we kind of promote everything. We have Coach Pat Cologne from North Miami, big win for the Pioneers last night over the Chargers, so we'll have him about 8:45. Sean Shivers on his way to Auburn and has had just a tremendous season for Chaminade and Madonna. We'll have him on about 9:30 rather. Coach, here's a team that a lot of people, except for Zach Kranz, didn't pick. That's Nova. Nova's undefeated. Coach Kevin Huntley will join us as well at 9:20. And then at 9:05, Christopher Columbus, junior wide receiver, defensive back, Kalani Norris. But we start the program out, as we talked in the our first hour on the program. We're going to talk a little bit of recruiting from everybody going on. Florida State. We're going to talk a little bit Miami. But we're going to start off with the Florida Gators. And she's nice enough to join us this evening. Evening, Jackie Franciulli. Jackie, thanks so much for checking in with us tonight.
Thanks, Larry, for having me on today.
Anytime. I know you're in the midst of, you know, watching this season unfold, and obviously Florida doing extremely well. And, you know, we were talking before, every time we tune in the games that they're on, here's C.J. Henderson bringing back one, or Marco Wilson making a good play, or Voshon Joseph doing as well. Seems like the impact with South Florida kids, especially over the last couple of years, has taken flight in Gainesville.
Yeah, it certainly has, and Jim McElwain and his staff has done a tremendous job recruiting that area. And, of course, when you have a guy like Randy Shannon who knows the area very well since he's from the area, and you got Corey Bell there as a new assistant, of course they're going to do well in recruitment in the South Florida. And then it's just, you know, they've been doing well. They've gotten great talent, and the crucial thing is it develops great talent. Voshon Joseph obviously was a kid that was under-recruited, in my opinion. He was a three-star linebacker and scout. And he came on, and last year against LSU made a name for himself with that big hit that soon became a GIF on Twitter. And right. He's grown from it. You've seen him, his growth already this year. Last year we talked about his physicality. This year we're talking him more in a leadership role. He's only a sophomore.
Right.
And he's
right.
Really taken that position left by, you know, Jared Davis and Alex Anzalone, two guys that really were the big pieces for Florida's defense. And Voshon Joseph has done a good job of really establishing himself in that big role.
You know, you take a look, Jackie, at players like I mentioned, C.J. Henderson. Here's a kid originally committed to Miami. Obviously, a lot of people love him down here. Great speed, just a tremendous athlete. Has everybody been kind of surprised how he just stepped in from day one and started taking pick six back?
I wouldn't say a surprise. Everyone really knew C.J. Henderson was going to be a great player in college. However, when you look at that class and you look at that DB unit, I would want to say Marco Wilson took much of the shine and had most of the expectations on him because
right.
of his legacy, obviously.
Right.
So
sure.
I think CJ, although he's a great playmaker in his own right, and I think people knew he was going to be good in college, I think he was a little under the radar because Marco Wilson was in that same class. But he's done a really great job. He's so quick. I remember watching him against Vanderbilt, and he was closing down his guy so quick. And he just reads those plays, and it doesn't seem like college ball has fazed him too much. You know, he's a freshman, and it seems like he's been playing in that position for a while for Florida. So he's been one of the shining stars on that defense, especially when you think of all the guys that were injured. And the guys who graduated as well.
No doubt. I mean, and you talk about a kid like that, and you ask yourself, you know, how does a kid excel in the SEC like that as a freshman, you know, with just high school's experience? And he was mostly a running back wide receiver, played, you know, Coach Merritt had him play in the secondary. But when you take a look at, because he runs so well, and he's a very intelligent kid, and his instincts are you know, out the door. And that's one of the reasons why. And when you have that type of speed, as they say, you can't teach speed like that. And I know you watch and you go, wow. I mean, it's kind of like shocking speed. But that's what, you know, when you have world-class kids who are playing football, that's what it looks like. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I remember covering him in high school, and I'm going to practice and just, you know, taking notes. And you see all the players leaving the field. He leaves the field and comes back.
Right.
That's the difference between, you know, someone who's just good and someone who's great. Obviously, you can't teach speed, but what he does is also look at that playbook and also gets better by staying extra, and he's still doing that at Florida.
Yeah, no doubt. Jackie Franchulli joins us. She covers the Florida Gators with Scout Media, and you know, I mean, obviously, you have an opportunity to watch a program that has grown, as you mentioned, a tremendous coaching staff. Especially guys who've had head coaching experience, like you mentioned, Randy mm-hmm. Shannon. I mean, who actually went to the same high school as Voshan, so they have a little kinship, you know, as well. But here's a great staff. This staff seems to know not only South Florida, but they know the entire Southeast. And that's important because you have somebody in McElwain who's coached in this area, and he knows. It's just like when Charlie Strong, you know, went to Louisville and then he left and went to Texas. He knew when he came back to South Florida how impressive the talent was, you know, throughout the entire state, but mainly in the concentrated area from the Palm Beaches to the Keys, and you win with players like that. Talk about that and how you've watched the Gators, you know, grow, not just infusing talent from the Southeast, but from this area as well.
Well, you can just simply look at what changed in the spring. You know, you have to admit that Florida, before the staff, was losing out battles they should not have lost to, especially when Miami under Al Golden was not performing as well as Miami teams in the past were performing.
Right.
I always said Miami used to date the players but never got them to commit, and Florida was never able to flip those players 2-3 years ago. But then look at National Signing Day, they were able to flip C.J. Henderson. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought the week before National Signing Day, I think everyone had secured him at Miami to recommit, and then suddenly, you know, he's back at Florida. So I think this staff has been able to really let these kids buy into the program. And I think it's because of, you know, one, their connection, and also because they've able to show development on the field, and also the connection through, you know, Quincy Wilson. Quincy
sure.
Wilson, obviously, his dad is that obviously has a great connection down there. You know, his dad played in Miami, and so
yeah.
his kids are in Florida. So I think that has really helped. And also, you know, when they brought in new assistants, they were smart enough to bring guys who know Florida as well.
Right.
Jaywon Sider coached West Virginia, but is from Florida, and he knows the area very well.
Mm-hmm.
He recruited this area. Then Corey Bell, another guy, very well connected in South Florida. I think that was a huge win for them, bringing a guy like that, not just because of developing defensive backs, but also because of his recruiting ties. And we're seeing the evidence now in this recruiting class. I think if he was here for a little bit longer, I think some of the wins might have gone to Florida's way. And just like, for example, Tyson Campbell, the four-star corner of American Heritage, Florida still has a long way to go with him, but Florida was not in the conversation with him back in March. I remember talking to Campbell at the Nike camp at Miami, and he didn't even want to mention Florida. He said there was too much cornerback, too much depth at Florida. He wasn't mm-hmm. even looking at the Gators anymore, and suddenly he's considering an official visit to Florida. He hasn't set anything up. It's all, you know, you don't really secure an official visit until he gets on campus. But just to be in the conversation, that's all Corey Bell.
Yeah.
That's him. And I think that's what this staff has done, is establish connections. And they know the blueprint of what needs to be done. I remember looking at where they were going during the spring, and they attacked the areas they needed to. They knew they needed to send 2-3 people down in South Florida, and they needed to go twice over to a school, depending on one assistant coming in at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
They also knew they needed to attack Tampa. They knew they needed to go to Atlanta. So they pinpoint which cities they need to go to and attack full force. And I think that's something where this year they've done so much better than last year, especially recruiting younger talent. They're going after 2020 kids already, which is something that they were knocked on last year.
Yeah.
They weren't offering early, but now this group is able to evaluate players, establish those relationships early, so then they won't have the problem that they were having where they were chasing kids last year. So now they're able to do it, and that's what you expect coming into your third year as a head coach. You expect these now relationships to start a little bit earlier.
Yeah, no doubt. Jackie Franchulli joining us, Florida Gators Scout Media. You know, when you take a look also, Jackie, at some of the talent that used to get away, as you mentioned, and the mm-hmm. Gators may not have been in that conversation. I mean, winning cures, you know, winning helps. You get into the SEC title game, you know, you get a lot of shine on TV, you all of a sudden getting kids drafted in the first, second, third round, and everyone knows who the Florida Gators are. So that helps as well. And obviously, being in a smaller market for media, it helps to kind of play off of some of the kids from the bigger cities, as you mentioned, from Tampa, from Atlanta, from down here. And, you know, that always helps.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're in Miami, you're competing so much. You know, when you look at the local station, you're competing against the Heat. You're competing against the Dolphins. You know, you have so much other stories going on in the city that big. But then when you come to, you know, a city like Gainesville or Tallahassee, you know, you don't have other sports teams apart from your university. And that's where, you know, you're the star. There's sometimes the football team might lead the first story of the day on your local news station. They do features, and that's sort of the thing that, you know, I think coaches do, you know, tell players, you know, you can be one of the many in a city. Well, you can be one of the few here, and you can be the guy, the man around the city, not just around campus. And I think that's obviously something that they've, you know, talked to students about this and players, because, you know, some guys I've talked to, you know, look at UCLA, for instance. They see the draw of playing the West Coast. I had a few players in the last 3 years that I've covered that always say, oh, the West Coast, I want to see UCLA, I want to see USC. But then they go there and they realize they're going to be a small fish in a big pond, not just in school, but in the city. When then they go into Gainesville and they walk around campus or they walk around downtown, you're instantly recognized.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're kind of instantly celebrity around here.
Good stuff. Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time. Tell everybody how they can follow your work.
Yeah, for sure. You can go on fightinggators.com on Scout for all your Gator recruiting. And obviously, you can follow me on Twitter at @JackieFran_.
Good stuff. Jackie, thanks so much. We'll hook up with you later on in the year.
All right. Thanks, Larry, for having me.
Anytime. Jackie Franchulli does a great job, knows her stuff. When we come back, Brandon Sinone from FSU's Knoll 247. Looking around 9:30. Talked about Florida State way up to the area. Obviously, if you watch the games, if it's not Byrne, comes from this area making plays. And this week, fingers crossed, a huge game as it always is, Miami and Florida State. And nobody covers the Seminoles better than Brandon Sinone. He joins us. Brandon, thanks so much for taking the time. How's the weather looking?
right now it's been beautiful, but I guess ominous signs ahead. Yeah, we're just trying to see where the tropical storm, or I don't know if it's a depression or storm at this moment, but indications are that it's going to be a hurricane, and it'll be a hurricane closing in on the Panhandle and Big Bend area by this weekend. So, you know, right now everyone's kind of in wait-and-see mode in Tallahassee to kind of see what happens with the game. Obviously, both Miami and Florida State have had issues with hurricanes this season and having to reschedule this game, of course, being one that was rescheduled already.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is already a rescheduled game, and I don't know if there's any more slots. And, I mean, this is just such a big game in so many ways. I mean, obviously, these teams have played for years and years and years, and a lot's at stake recruiting-wise. And you know as well as I do, when whether it's in Miami or whether it's in Tallahassee, this game always gets a lot of recruits, and certainly I'm sure FSU wants to put their best foot forward, you know, getting off to a slow start against one of their arch rivals and invite the world. And how many kids have you heard that FSU is going to be bringing in? And certainly has to be some of their marquee recruits.
Oh, yeah, the list that we've been able on Knowles 24/7 to with Josh Newberg and Chris Neen, guys that you know well, obviously. You know, they do a great job with recruiting. I'm pulling up the list here now. I mean, it's a couple dozen of guys that we've confirmed that are supposed to be coming. And, you know, obviously there's always some surprises when you talk about a game of this magnitude, because it is, like you said, Larry, it's a marquee game. It's a showcase game. It's that way for Miami when it's down in South Florida. It's that for Florida State. And it's always interesting when you see kind of a crossover of recruits, the guys that are being recruited by both programs. In this case, looking here, we got Dennis Briggs, the defensive end from the Central Florida area, and both Florida State and Miami kind of seem like they're in on him. And it seems like it's those two, Tyson Campbell from down in South Florida, is the guy who's supposed to be up here this weekend. A few official visits for Florida State as well, with four-star guys like Houston Griffith, Jalen Waddle. And I think looking at the list here, big name, Patrick Surtain, of course, from South Florida as well, that's supposed to be coming up. There was some talk about Justin Fields, the quarterback, being in Tallahassee, but I'm not so sure about that now. But that's hopefully Florida State fans aren't listening because they're going to get all up in arms about that.
I'm sure they are listening. but you also, I mean, you're close to this team. You cover them every day. You know all the kids. I mean, has there been a lot of talk prior? I mean, obviously you had to go through this once before when they were going to play. Now you have probably as many marquee kids as they've had in a long time from South Florida playing for Florida State, and they usually do very well. Talk about some of the guys, you know, that have made that impact. You know, we mentioned McFadden, obviously Matthew Thomas coming a little bit into his own this year, and then Burns has been a freak since day one.
Yeah, I mean, those three are the kind of the prime guys. I mean, this will be the first time in 3 years of Florida State hasn't had Dalvin Cook, which is probably the prime example of you know, the really highlighting the power swing of Florida State's kind of its prime years versus Miami trying to get back, you know, going into Miami Central and to inner city Miami and plucking him away. So Florida State's going to have to try to manufacture some offense without him against Miami this year, and that hasn't proven to be easy so far this season. But, yeah, Matthew Thomas has, you know, man, things have kind of clicked for him. And after a really rough start in his career and not really living up to that five-star billing, he's a fifth-year senior, and you can see he's starting to make an impact in a lot of different ways. Had two sacks against Wake Forest last week and really efficient. Brian Burns obviously had 9.5 sacks as a freshman last year, so he's big. Tavares McFadden, you even got like someone like Ramon Lane from South Florida that's done a really nice job as kind of a rotational safety. Hasn't really panned into what Florida State thought it was going to be as a wide receiver, but he's someone that has certainly stepped in for them. And for these guys, I mean, yeah, it's always a big game. I mean, this is bragging rights. You have friends and family. You have old teammates. I mean, this is something that's different. I know it's that way for the Miami guys too. It always means a lot. And Florida State's done such a good job setting up a bit of a stronghold down in Miami, or at least a consistent pipeline, you know, both in Broward and Dade. That this means a lot. Even I shouldn't mention later James Blackman,
yes.
Florida State's quarterback.
Yeah, Glade Central.
Yep, exactly. So this, you know, I think he actually grew up a University of Florida fan.
Yeah.
But still, you know, this rivalry is not lost on him either, I'm sure.
Yeah, and no doubt, as Brandon Sinone joins us from Knoll 247. You know, here's the thing, too, when you look, Brandon, you've have kids that, you know, have played together for so long. You know, when we mentioned, you know, we just talked to Jackie Franchulli, and she was telling us the same thing about the with the Gators. There's a lot of kids that, you know, no matter where you play, I mean, when they play it against Kentucky or when you guys go to Wake Forest, there's always going to be guys that these kids from the entire state have played against since they were in youth football. I mean, it's just that way. When you produce so many players, and we had, what, almost 100 kids in the state of Florida playing in the NFL last year. So that tells you, I mean, you know, what a high level it is. And Jimbo Fisher, ever since he was back at LSU and when he was, you know, when he used to come down and recruit, his affection for the South Florida area especially has always been, you know, he comes on the radio shows down here. He's on the station the other day with Joe Rose. He just loves this area because he knows he's seen what when you get like a Matthew Thomas or when you get a, you know, a Stanford Samuel or when you get a, you know, a Willie Jones or any of these guys or a Marvin Jones or somebody that can define your program in a hurry.
And I remember talking to you about this a few years ago for a story I was doing on his ties. And one thing that you said that stood out and stuck with me for years, Larry, is that Jimbo, even when he was back at LSU, like, South Florida was his recruiting territory. Those were the areas that he would go in, and he would kind of freak people out by, like, just being at a jamboree all day.
Yeah.
Being the guy, like, a white guy in a predominantly black area, whatever, like, that's what he does, and that's what made him such a good recruiter, and he's done that as a head coach, too, to identify, like, guys on his staff that can do the same thing. Like, Tim Brewster is his recruiting coordinator, and that's who he has in Miami. That's the guy who he has sends out to get the big-time recruits in South Florida because he understands the importance of being able to connect with people, and he puts his best recruiter in the area to do that. Jimbo has understood that you have to get talent in your state, even though South Florida is about 6 hours away from Tallahassee. Like, that's been a
doesn't
huge
matter.
Reason for Florida's success.
Yeah.
Nope, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. I mean, and the one thing that has always held true, not so much with the Gators, but with the Seminoles, they've always done extremely well here. Even when Florida State maybe lost three, four games in a year. They've always had Florida's, you know, South Florida talent that always kind of infused the team. And you look at this year's team, obviously there's a lot of young, you know, I mean, people don't realize when you have so many kids move on, you know, it's not so easy to plug in all the time. Now, we get used to it because of Alabama does it, and, you know, programs like Clemson are starting to do it. But the regular mainstream of college football, you know, I mean, they have a certain amount of star kids. I mean, they can't keep churning them out. I mean, this is not – but Florida State has seemed – and I said this to Josh Newberg last year, Brandon. I think we were at the Under Armour game, and I saw all the talent that Florida State not only had on the 2017 team, but for the kids coming back this year. I mean, they must have three, four, five, six commits who will be in the Under Armour game this year.
I mean, the recruiting rankings, I have them in front of me here. I mean, they've been pretty stellar. And I think, you know, I think one thing that Jimbo Fisher has done a really good job at is kept the program in the upper echelon.
Yep.
And something they're kind of struggling with in transition right now, and that's having a prodigious offensive, a transcendent skill position player, if you will, having a Jameis Winston, having a Dalvin Cook. And that's when his teams have been at his best. And, like, outside of, like, the Alabamas of the world, it's your far
yeah.
in between. Like, you can't just turn out
you
stars
can't.
At every single position.
I agree.
So you need someone special. And that's kind of, I think, what they think, like, a Cam Akers from Mississippi is
yeah.
going to be. But he's kind of feeling his way through things right now. And that's why Florida State's struggling a little bit. But that's what I think Jimbo has done a really good job of doing, is convincing skill position players, elite talents, either at quarterback or running back, to come to this program and giving them, you know, a chance in that pro system to go and show what they can do and audition for the NFL.
Yeah.
That's kind of what set them apart. And then I think that's why right now they're 1-2 and they're struggling a little bit, because they're in between there. And I don't know if you want to say that's an indictment on the coaching staff to have that gap. I think that's a fair conversation to have, but yeah, it's tough to have a star in the first round draft pick at a varsity position every single
yeah.
year, and every program can do it.
It is, and then you lose a quarterback who did pretty darn good for you last year, you
yep.
know, and I mean, that takes its toll when you don't have depth at that position as far as experience depth, because no doubt Blackman's going to be good. The other kids that they brought in are going to be good, but they don't have the experience now, and the only guy that had the experience, you know, went down early. And I mean, and that's not an indictment of anybody. It happens, and you know, it's happened in the professional ranks and here with Miami. I mean, you lose Tannehill, you get a guy who was in the broadcast mm-hmm. booth to come back, and things may not be what everybody thinks. But Brandon, if people want to follow you and check you out, how they do it?
Well, you can read all of my content, you know, Chris Mees, Josh Newberg's over at Knowles247.com, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at BSonnone, BSonnone.
Good stuff. Brandon, I appreciate you checking in, and hopefully we'll get this one in this week.
We'll see.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Larry.
All right. Brandon Sonnone from Knoll 247 and does a tremendous job. Speaking about great job, I mean, if you're a Hurricane fan, I mean, if you don't every day check out what Andrew Ivins is putting out, I mean, he puts out everything from recruiting to visits to and he goes to see the players. I mean, he'll go up to Orange City to watch, you know, a couple of players, a certain running back, Lingard, and some other guys, and he'll be down here taking in three, four games. Very respected guy, because he works his butt off, and we're happy to have him tonight. Brandon, Andrew, thanks so much for taking a little bit of time. I know you're a busy guy, especially trying to keep up whether this game's going to be played this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hopefully they get it in. It seems like this kind of came out of nowhere, but
yeah.
I guess we'll see what happens.
You've been keeping busy, nevertheless. I mean, it's you know, we had a little hiatus because of the storm down here, but Miami has a lot of recruits around the nation that are, you know, that are very interested or committed already. Talk about that process, because you follow this, I mean, on a daily basis. You check out what the kids are doing, their commits, the kids who were, as we talked to Brandon, you know, there's kids that are down to Miami and Florida State, so this game is huge for them. Talk about those type of kids that, you know, right now are maybe not 100% sold on Miami that you're talking with, but still has Miami right in that, you know, top couple.
Well, Miami's got right now 18 commits. I mean, they're pretty much locked in with a lot of their guys. So right now they're not necessarily recruiting other targets. They're just recruiting to keep these kids committed. Obviously, there's some targets out there that, you know, guys they want to add. The name that jumps out to me right away is Dennis Briggs, the defensive tackle out of Kissimmee Gateway. He's a guy that Florida State likes as well. Mine is also, you know, looking at South Bay linebacker Patrick Joyner, just trying to see if they can flip them. And then obviously you got Tyson Campbell, the cornerback there at American Heritage. And I know, you know, how good he is and how everyone wants him. So, I mean, they're probably only going to add four or five more guys here over the next couple of months before the early signing period and signing day. So right now, for Miami, it's a lot of keeping momentum going, and certainly beating Florida State this weekend in Tallahassee to help with that.
You brought up a good point, you know, because let's flash back around 3-4 years ago, and these classes weren't sewn up like this yet. I mean, this is the difference. I mean, when you could come in, get your quote-unquote 4-5 type of star kids and lock them in, as you said, this is a whole different ballgame than it was in, you know, 3-5 years ago, because now Miami's moved on looking at 19 to 20 kids, maybe even taking a little peek at the 21 kids. They didn't have that luxury before.
Well, I think Miami's previous coaching staff had to do this, but I think what makes this cycle different than others is Mark Rick and his assistant coaches have done a real good job of identifying talent and building relationships with those kids. If you look at the defensive backs they got committed, I mean, Josh Joe, DJ Ivy, Gilbert Satterson, and Gervin Hall, I mean, these are kids that Miami was recruiting long before Alabama, long before Michigan, long before Georgia really knew about them. So I think that's kind of what's helped Miami get their foot in the door. It's part of like I said, and there's assistant coaches evaluating kids and knowing that these kids are going to be kids that they want.
Right.
So we're seeing it really pay off here. And I think, I don't know about 2019, if that's going to be the same case as the staff still there, but I think we're going to see the same thing in 2020 in terms of just putting together a star-studded class of guys they want.
Yeah, you bring up Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports. You bring up a good point because of the success of any coaching staff, you're going to have assistant coaches moving up. They may get coordinator jobs somewhere else, or the coordinators here may get head coaching jobs. So those lessons, you know, as long as you keep that head man in place, and I've always said that, I mean, you could interchange some of the other parts, not all at once, but once in a while. That's the one thing that that you've probably seen, I've seen it for sure, is this current coaching staff has got to be as good as any, not only the X's and O's, but the way they deal with the kids, the coaches, and the community.
Yeah, across the board, I mean, really on both offense and defense, I think safety coach Ephraim Vanda is one of the top recruiters in the country. I think on our 247 Sports recruiter rankings, you guys in the top three. He's real good. Todd Hartley, the tight end coach, even another guy who was able to go across the country and get a great tight end in Brevin Jordan. You know, Ron Duke is the wide receivers coach. He's the reason why Mark Pope's doing it. I mean, I keep going up and down the list. I mean, they seem to have done a good job of getting assistant coaches that have bought into Rick's, you know, what he wants to do with the program. And
right.
You know, the good game day coaches, but more importantly, the relationship. And I keep bringing up that word, but they talk to these kids. That's kind of why they say they're bought into Miami.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, too, is you get an opportunity to see a lot of these kids over and over again. You know, I mean, not just one time, you know, where people make an assessment, leave, go somewhere else. But you get a chance to really fully understand why Miami or any school's recruiting. You talk about Mark Pope. I mean, the more you watch him, I mean, the more you got to be amazed. I mean, the things that he does, his ability to run routes, his body control, just his demeanor towards the game. And you've seen him quite a lot. What do you like about his game the most?
It seems like every time I see Mark Pope, I just walk away going, wow, he's so good. And whether it's a 7-on-7 tournament where he just turns it on or in a game, I mean, I think the kid just makes plays. And, you know, I had one coach tell me one time, we always overthink it. You know, can he do this? Can he do that? I mean, Mark Pope just simply makes plays. I was there last Thursday when he was playing Miami. Palmetto tried to take him out of the game. They were double teaming, triple teaming, and then he went up and caught a ball and took a hit from the safety and got the first down. It was 30-19. He got him 20. So I think he's a guy who, you know, he's going to be special. I mean, yeah, when he gets to the college game, other people are on his side. He's not as fast, but he's a competitor. I mean, yeah, he always has his cleats laced up. He does a lot of the small things. He'll throw a block. So I think he's someone who could maybe be an Antonio Callaway type guy.
Wow.
In Miami. So I think he's exciting. And, you know, there's obviously going to be a ceiling there. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be playing on Sundays one day, but I think he's definitely someone who have a chance to come in and make an impact early with Miami or wherever he ends up signing, although I fully expect him to end up in Coral Gables.
Nice. Before we let you go, talk about some of the kids that are making that impact for you for this team this year. I mean, the Harleys, guys like that as freshmen, kids that you watched in high school last year that you said to yourself, like Navon Donaldson, this kid's going to be special.
Well, it starts and ends with Navon Donaldson. I mean, he's started, I guess, three games now at right guard, and he's looked like a veteran. He's doing everything Miami's asking of him. Obviously, there's some mistakes here there. I think that call for a false start, maybe it was a holding against Duke. So he's been great, and Miami was expecting that when they recruited him, and that's a huge win. I mean, if we look back at last cycle, he took a late visit to Florida State. I think it would be Miami wouldn't be where they are right now if he was at one of these other schools. He's been good. Trajan Bandy's really inserted himself in the secondary, making a lot of plays there in the nickel. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year he's actually a full-time starter at cornerback. He just seems to just do what everything the coaches want him to do. He's a physical guy, supposed to. And another guy who's really impressed me, and I don't think enough people are writing about, is Corey Gaynor, the kid out of Pompano Beach Douglas. Yeah, I mean, he's played in every game thus far with the first team offensive line, but they like to bring him in that second quarter as a right guard, and I think he spelled Devon Donaldson last week, and then he's a fullback in the goal line situation. So this is a kid who was a late take for Miami.
Yeah.
He's a pancake machine. I think in a couple of years, we're going to be like, hey, remember this, when this kid was committed to Minnesota? Now he's an all-ACC type guard. So
I
think he's kind of he's the one no one's talking about.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you because, big-time kid. And one of those guys that as soon as Searles and Mark Rick started watching him play, they kind of like said, this kid's we're not going to be able to keep this kid on the bench. I mean, because he does. He's a very athletic guy. And, you know, his brother was very talented, too, was at TCU and a big kid. And, listen, you know, when you strike gold on those type of guys, like you said, Bandy was destined to play, you know, start at the college level when he was in 10th grade. I mean, you know, he was always had the long arms. He's quick. He has great recovery speed. And, yeah, he's special. Andrew, any kids that are that you know of that Miami, Florida State are battling for, whether it's this class or next, that may be up at the game this week?
Well, I'm not sure if Dennis Briggs or Patrick Nguyen are going to be there. I know Keith Dent, the quarterback from Palm Beach Central, he's going to be there. There's some talk about Tyson Campbell maybe making a trip up. But regardless, I mean, you know, everyone's going to be watching that game this weekend. Kids are going to have their eye on it. So I wrote today that, I mean, this is a huge game for Miami. I mean, they've lost 7 straight. They really need to, if they want to win these recruiting battles, if they want to take down the top dog, you know, it's time to pony up and win a game like this. I think that would really help them when it comes to keeping this class together and getting some inroads for maybe some of those younger kids. So. Miami needs this one, regardless.
Yeah, no doubt. Andrew, if people want to follow you, how do they do it?
You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew_Irons. Also, you can find us inside the U, David Lake, Chris Stock, and we have a great job just covering the team and everything around Miami Athletics. So you can find us on 24/7.
Yeah, you do. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you soon. All right.
Andrew Ivan from 247 Sports does a great job inside the U. As you mentioned, David Lake, Christopher Stock have been doing that for a long time. When we come back, we end hour number one. Corey Bender, Scout Media, will join us next.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Wednesday evening. Larry Bluestein up until 10 o'clock this evening, 2-hour show. Thanks so much to Brandon Sinone from NOL 24/7 for joining us. Also, Andrew Ivins took some time out of his busy schedule at Inside the U and all that 247 University of Miami Hurricane stuff and doing a great job as well. So as we told you in this first hour, we're going to run the gamut throughout the recruiting. Next hour, as I told you, Kalani Norris from Christopher Columbus and Sean Shivers will join us as well as Coach Pat Cologne from North Miami and our McDonald's team of the week, the Nova Titans, head coach Kevin Hunt. Huntley will join us as well. But pick up the first hour in our recruiting as we had some time with the Florida Gators and FSU and also with the University of Miami. Now, somebody who covers the entire state could talk about all the players, all the teams. Great guy and one of the best at what he does and is a regular on our show. Corey Bender joins us from Scout Media. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Larry. Hope all is going well for you tonight.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of rain. You know how it is. I mean, I think this we've had more makeup games and cancellations down here than anybody. And, you know, I was telling you before, we put full schedule of games on Monday night, 34 games, and another 10, 12 last night. So, and then we do it all again at the end of the week. now, you guys haven't – were you affected in the on the in the Tampa area over there by the storm where you had cancellations or –
Yeah, like I mean, when Irma was coming in that whole week, yeah. We had a lot of cancellations, a lot of games moved back. And like you were saying, even last week, we had games on Tuesday, Wednesday. And it's one of those things, you just got to be tuned in and keep double checking. Because like I said, sometimes you want to go to Max Preps and check. That's not always updated. I'm just always on Twitter, man, trying to refresh everything and make sure I'm missing games. Because Armwood played last Wednesday. So all these games, like you said, it's been kind of a wacky season. Obviously so because of the weather, but like I said, football goes on, and hopefully the second half of the season, you know, we won't have any bad weather.
Yeah, well, it's not getting off to a good start for Tallahassee this weekend. You know, we were just talking to Brandon Sinone up there in Tallahassee, and he was telling us about, you know, I think it's a day-by-day type of thing. But this is a huge weekend. As you know, whenever you have Florida and Florida State, it's a huge recruiting weekend. But Miami and Florida State, whether it's been a lopsided, rivalry of late or not, this always comes down to some pretty decent kids. Talk about how an impact and as you know, as Andrew Ivins just said, he says, you know, Miami's got to win a game like this. Miami, you know, to keep those the attention of some of them, you know, top recruits. Talk about a game like this, if you can, Corey, and you know, the magnitude of a game from a recruiting standpoint.
No, absolutely. Yeah, this is a date that's circled on the calendar every year for almost every kid in the state of Florida. A lot of these kids are picking between Miami and Florida State as well. One kid might be committed to Miami, but he might be kind of keeping his eye on Florida State and vice versa. And like you said before, like what Andrew was saying, this is a game that Miami, like you said, this is a type of big nationally staged game they have to win, especially with all the recruits that are going to be there. Obviously, this whole entire game, as far as a recruit standpoint, is absolutely jam-packed with all, you know, many of the state's top kids. I know some will be going to Florida. Obviously, Rashad Wild Goose. I mean, some guys like that are taking the official of Florida, but obviously, this is the marquee game of the week. And this game goes a long way in a lot of these kids' thought process. And obviously, when you factor in decision on academics, your relationship with the coaching staff, just on field play, there's so many things. But when you go to a game, obviously, up in Doak Campbell, obviously, with that atmosphere, especially with the close game and the way it ends, it's such a big impact on those kids. You know how it is recruiting. These are 16-year-old kids, 17 years old, and sometimes they kind of get caught up in that moment and, you know, they make that decision. So it's one of those things. Like you say, you have to remember you're dealing with kids, and obviously the excitement they're wanting to see in the game. And, you know, Florida State or Miami, whoever wins this game, it's going to go a long way in the recruiting trail. And a lot of those coaches are going to echo that to a lot of these recruits. I mean, obviously, Florida State's not really off to the best start, obviously, for the whole season. And say if they lost a home in Miami, you know, those Miami coaches will you know, I mean, you don't want to badmouth a school or you don't want to down recruit, but it's one of those things, you know, you have that in your back pocket. You showed it on the field, you're doing well on the recruiting trail. And obviously, a lot of kids will have a front row seat for that game. They can see it for themselves. So I'm so excited for this game, man. Even pregame, you know, when they start jawing it up and, you know, kind of getting into it. And like I said, this is a game you circle on your calendar each year, and it goes a long, long way on the recruiting trail, especially for all these top-tier, blue-chip, four-star type of kids. And five-star, obviously, they'll be in attendance.
Yeah, and not only that, Corey, the kids like to, you know, like you said, if Rashad Wild Goose or somebody is committed to some other school, they show to you know, hang out with the guys and see all the guys that, you know, from around the state that they've competed 7-on-7 with and been at Nike camps in the opening and all that stuff. So that's kind of like, you know, they come to hang out, too. I mean, it's their way of having fun. Sure, they want to see everything, but at the same time, Miami has a lot of kids that come, and I remember in the past, because, you know, Miami wasn't the favor for everybody, they would have kids that commit to Ohio State, but show up at that Miami-Florida State game just to be part of the, you know, part of the, you know, the deal. And I think a lot has to be said for that as well. And you take a look at these two programs, notoriously always putting kids into the NFL, always having high-level rival kids. You've had an opportunity to be at both places. You spent time at Miami. You spent time in Tallahassee. You've been at camps and stuff like that. These programs are fairly comparable. I mean, you know, I mean, there's still a gap, but the gap is closing.
No, absolutely. And I just can't stop raving about Mark Richt and just the culture change that he's done since he's been, you know, back at the University of Miami. It's just a whole different vibe from when you step on campus. And like you said, that gap has closed. And obviously the way Florida State, I thought prior to the season, after seeing Florida State in camp and kind of being up there at campus and, you know, the depth they have along the defensive line, you know, Francois was coming back. And
sure.
I was so high on this Florida State team coming this year and just that quarterback bug when DeAndre Francois went down. And you know, like James Blackman, I think you and I talked about this last year. Obviously, he has to tack on some weight. I mean, he's raw. I mean, he has ways to go a little bit. But as far as a natural arm, I thought coming out of high school out of Florida, I thought as far as a natural arm extending the field and really putting that football down the field, I thought he had one of the best arms the last couple, three, 4 years as far as natural arm talent or really stretching the field. And, you know, the main thing with him, I know he has to kind of season up some things. He's a raw kid. He has to pack on some weight. But it's one of those things I'm interested to see how he reacts in this type of situation. You know, I know last week you can tell the way they won at the end of the game. You could tell they kind of gave him a little boost of, you know, I don't know, just some confidence. You could tell after the game when the cameras were following, you could tell that really felt good for him. And hopefully that translates over into the Miami game. And I'm excited to see that, man. I'm excited to see how he operates in such a big-time atmosphere. And like I said, with Miami, like you said right before we got on the call, this is a game. They have to win these type of games. You can beat all these other schools, these non-conference schools and some of these ACC schools, but Florida State, the in-state battle, that rivalry is such a thick battle for years and years, and you have to win this game, and I think that'll go a long, long way in the recruiting trail for whatever team wins this game.
Yeah, no doubt. Corey Bender joining us. Corey, you know, the other thing, too, is when you take a look at all the talent throughout the state of Florida, and you know you know how many kids during the spring, whether it's Tampa area, Orlando, South Florida, Jacksonville, just so many college coaches come down here because everybody wants to infuse their programs, you know, with this type of talent. I mean, you're originally from Michigan area. You see Michigan State has done that in the past. They came down here last year, kind of revitalized themselves by getting Larice Nelson from American Heritage, who's a speed kid. They've done that in the past. You know, have gotten kids. Same thing with Michigan. Do you look at the Big Ten as coming down here? You know, all the because you know how Ohio State loves to come and get these kids. The talent that South Florida has, the state of Florida has, is not so much the big linemen, but the skill kids. I mean, the guys that can make a difference. Last year, Grimes went to Ohio State. The year before that, the kid from Coconut Creek went. Benjamin Victor. You look at, and that's the one thing I think that Alabama does. They'll come down here and get the kid that they just can't get anywhere else. And do you find that a lot with the Big Ten teams that they'll come down here and they'll, you know, like Illinois has started to do that. They kind of tapped that little oil field a little bit. Do you agree? I mean, because there's so much talent in the Midwest to begin with from line standpoint. You got a lot, you know, quarterback. But for the speed of the game and for the big-time playmakers, a lot of them want to infuse their teams with Florida kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the proof is out there. I mean, you look at Mike Epstein. I mean, he's a kid obviously committed to Illinois. He stayed solid throughout the process. And just seeing that South Florida speed, that athleticism, just seeing how much of a difference is. And like you said, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois is a big one. I know Oregon. I mean, Oregon's another school that's really – I mean, I thought initially they only take about 3 to 4 kids, but that's another school that's really coming in here, really prioritizing and making Florida a top priority. But as far as – yeah, with Michigan, Ohio State, they have obviously – but they also have the power and obviously the resume to go coast to coast and get many of the kids they want. Obviously, they have to battle a lot of these in-state schools down here or vice versa. You go to California, you still have to battle those USCs and all those type of schools. But, yeah, I just think there's kind of like a gold ship next to all these kids from Florida. You see all these schools with Harbaugh when he comes on the FAU and, you know, in previous years when he went to St. Thomas.
Yeah.
There's just something about that South Florida talent that sticks out. But at the same time, just looking at the NFL draft each and every year, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, just that speed. Like you said, linemen, they always have – South Florida always – seems like every year, Florida in general always has that one big blue-chip offensive lineman or defensive lineman. But like you said, as far as Florida as a whole, the big strength is the speed. And you can see that – I mean, with Illinois, I mean, one of the things I thought they've done a good job at – they're hitting these schools, but they're recruiting multiple prospects at the same school. They're not just trying to get that one kid out of the school and trying to really recruit them. They're going to the, you know, Miami Northwestern. They're going to, you know, you're going to St. Thomas. You're going to all these schools down there where there's multiple Division I prospects, and they're trying to reel in these kids that have connections that are friends. So when they, you know, say you go to Illinois, you travel far away from home, so that adjustment isn't as hard on you being alone rather than being with a teammate. So I kind of like that. And the thing is, like, not as much this year, but Syracuse and Iowa State were a few programs that were really attacking Florida throughout the recruiting process. But, you know, NC State.
They do a great job, too. Yeah, you're right.
No, absolutely. And the thing is Louisville, man. Like, Louisville, even all the kids they have now, it's just – you go back a year and a half ago, Louisville was offer number one for a lot of these kids. Warren Thompson, who's obviously committed to Oregon. Malcolm Lamar is committed to Oregon. Now, some of these, all these big-name kids, Louisville, I give that staff a lot of credit, man, because some of these schools, I'm not going to say they're hesitant to get that first offer, but it's almost like a wait-and-see. Let's see who jumps on this kid first. But Louisville.
You're right. They make those initial offers before a lot of other people, which is a good thing. Corey, we're going to run. I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks so much, man, for everything you do, and we'll be hooking up soon again. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Have a good rest of the night.
Anytime. The Corey Bender. And what a first hour. We got another hour to go. Don't go away. We have a big, big time 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Jackie Franchulli from the Gators and Brandon Sinodon with the Seminoles and Andrew Ivins with the University of Miami. Corey Bender, who does it all. When we come back, we got another hour.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.com.
And we welcome you back for our second hour. Larry Bluestein taking you up until 10 o'clock this evening. If you missed our first hour, you can go on our website and get it all. And we'll have it up in just a few minutes. And the entire show will be up this evening. And you could, if you missed our first hour, you missed a lot. A lot of recruiting we talked about. I talked about Florida, Florida State, and Miami. And Corey Bender kind of did the whole thing. This hour, we also have an action-packed hour, about 9:45 or so. Coach Pat Cologne from North Miami, first-year head coach, looking pretty good after a win last night against North Miami Beach. Sean Shivers, one of the top running backs in the nation, on his way to Auburn from Chaminade McDonald, join us around 9:30. At 9:20, Coach Kevin Huntley from Nova is doing an excellent job. He has the Titans undefeated. They are our McDonald's team of the week. We'll have him on in a few minutes. And also, if you're a Christopher Columbus fan, great, a football fan in general in South Florida, you want to check out Kalani Norris, one of the top young football players in South Florida, receiver, a cornerback, kid had an awesome youth career, played at Westminster last year, but at Columbus now and doing a superb job. Don't forget, a lot of games were made up. You could go on our SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com website and check out all that information. We have the games tomorrow. We had our top 15 teams that that dropped. You'll see a new team. That is number one. That's SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. If you go over there, you'll have an opportunity to see our top 15 teams. Also, we had a nice little in the huddle. So any day of the week, you go to that website, and we will not let you down. We have player profile, so there you go. So and if you go to our top 15 teams today, you'll see one of the teams has really played well. I mean, in a space of, I believe, 4 or 5 days, they won two huge games, beating Miami High and then Booker T. Washington. And Christopher Columbus has done an outstanding job. And one of the catalysts so far in this young season has been a young kid, and somebody who has come in this year and has done everything that everybody thought he would. And Kalani Norris joins us this evening. Kalani, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. No complaints whatsoever. I mean, you were part of that last week that really, really turned this season around in a 4 or 5 day span. You beat Miami High and then come back and beat Booker T. Washington. Talk about those two games, Miami High being obviously the most important of the two because it's a district game. But talk about coming away, you know, after 4 or 5 days with two huge wins like that.
I think the win was very good. We came together as a team. We executed, and we just stayed together as a team. And at halftime, we were down against Miami High. And we also came together and said, look, guys, we went in this game. Like, we also got to stay together and have put our faith in each other.
Right.
And against Booker T, I think, oh, yeah, we had jumped out on them, got to a nice start, And as they started to come back, we also got, like, as a team, got together as a team. We just put our best foot forward and just gave it our all and finished the game.
What does that feel like? I mean, you here's a team that, like a Booker T. Washington, who's won four state titles, have had a lot of success. I mean, you look at this year, I mean, their losses have been, I mean, by a couple of points to Central, by seven to Northwestern, obviously at a couple with you. I mean, it's a good team. I mean, this isn't, oh, Columbus just beat an average team. This is a team that is well coached. They have talent. Talk about that game, because, I mean, Miami High has just started to, you know, rejuvenate their program a little bit. But here's a team in Booker T. They've been at that level. And you watch some of their coaches and their players. I mean, they act like they've been at that level. Talk about a win like that. To me, that's more of a credible victory earlier in the season, you know, to propel you. Talk about a win over a Booker T team that is talented in a lot of ways.
Going into the game, we only have 1 day of preparation. And our coaches really put the game plan on us. They really prepared us for the game, and going into the game, we were very confident, and we knew they were a good team, so going into the game, we knew it was going to be a tough game, but we just had our faith, had our confidence, and just went out there and played football as a team.
Kalani Norris joining us, Christopher Columbus High School. This is a program in Columbus. You talk about a well-coached team, great. Well-coached team, Coach Merritt, tremendous. How have you fit in? I mean, you knew a lot of the kids, I mean, you know, beforehand, but how have you, you know, over the last, since you've been there, how have you fit in and how they, I'm sure they accepted you pretty quickly.
Coming into the program, I felt just love, straight love from all the coaches. They all took me in. They treated me with nothing but respect, nothing but love. Like a family out there. I mean, they take me under their wing. They teach me a lot. They prepare us for the best, and they just get us prepared for the next level.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking in the first hour, Kalani, about, you know, the talent in South Florida, and you've played youth football. You played it at this level. It's amazing because if you play at the youth football level, I mean, there's very few places in the country that have the kind of talent that face the type of competition that South Florida does. Talk about the youth football that's played down here and how it gets you ready to be in a spotlight at a program like Columbus.
Oh, man, the youth football is crazy down here. There's a whole lot of talent in South Florida. This is the best place to be. Just the coaches down here, they really get you prepared for the next level. I just want to thank my coaches at Kendall Boys and Girls Club, Coach Victor Amott. He really prepared me for just any type of program I was going into. And, I mean, just this is the place down here for all the South Florida talent.
And I watched you as well, 7-on-7 in the off season. I mean, which has become, you know, just part of the routine. You know, back in the day, it wasn't like that. I mean, you would, you know, meet a couple times a week, lift weights. That's not how it is anymore. Football pretty much dominates the landscape 12 months of the year. Talk about that and what you do not to get burnt out. You know, I mean, because it can burn you out if you play everything and you attend everything. What do you do to kind of prevent burnout? I mean, do you run track? Do you do other sports as well?
Yes, I run track, and 7-on-7 is like a warm-up. It just keeps you active, keeps you in your crafts, just keeps you working hard, and to never just slack off, because season comes faster than you think, and you got to stay working and just keep perfecting your craft.
Yeah, no doubt. As we're speaking with Kalani Norris from Christopher Columbus High School, talk about this program and, you know, some of the guys at Columbus, some of the players that a lot of people may not know. I mean, because Columbus is up until now wasn't getting the exposure. All the eyes were on Southridge and some of the other programs. Talk about guys that we may not hear that are making a huge impact every game, every practice for you.
I honestly think the whole team just deserves a lot of
credit
because they, all of them, they're hardworking kids. Those are my brothers. We all go out there and fight, and it's just we all make plays, and just try to do what's best for our team. I just think all of them deserve, like, some credit.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. College-wise, I mean, have you started looking, obviously? I mean, you're getting closer and closer. Schools that may interest you early on, you know, what you're looking for in a program from an academic standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, what would that be?
My recruiting process right now is going very slow, but as of right now, I have a few offers and a few coaches talking to me, a lot of mail coming in. But I'm just honestly worried about the season right now.
Right.
And just trying to make sure my team gets the win, make sure my team is, good. And just trying to win a state title.
No, I don't blame you. You take a look at a program like Columbus going up against a Lake Gibson team on this Friday, a team that was a state runner-up in 6A last year to Carroll City. And this gives you now, in a week, playing three pretty darn good football teams. Have you watched a lot on Lake Gibson, and what type of team are they?
They're very zone type team on defense. They're very big, aggressive, and I really like the matchup this week. We've been preparing for them for the past 3 days, and I just really like the matchup. I feel like we're going to go out there, play our best football, and just dominate.
Good stuff. Well, Kalani, I appreciate you taking the time. A lot of people need to check you out and go to the games and watch, because you've been a catalyst this year. A lot of people have talked about you. The coaching staff, obviously loves what you do, and you're destined for greatness. Obviously, you stay healthy, and you're going a lot of great places. And again, thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll keep our eye on you.
No problem. Thank you. It was an honor to talk to you.
Anytime. You too. Thank you. Kalani Norris from Christopher Columbus. Young kid, but he's getting the job done as well. Don't forget it. Tomorrow we'll have the complete schedule for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I know there's supposed to be some inclement weather in the area, but still maybe in between some of the hard raindrops, and so we'll get these games in, because now they're more important. You can't it's like Brandon said, the Florida State game with Miami is already a makeup game. I mean, what are you going to do? Same thing with high school. You don't want to get to the point. You may be able to shift them from the night to the morning, because usually the rain usually comes later in the day, but this next few days looks like the rain's going to be coming at all sides. So we're excited about some of the games coming up, some marquee matchups, and I said about noon tomorrow we'll have everything posted with all the couple of capsules on some of the games that are coming up. You have St. Thomas going to be playing Deerfield Beach. St. Thomas, obviously, it needs to get this thing back on in gear. They had a tough loss out west in Arizona, shutout for the first time in, 20 years at least. Tremendous defense, one of the best defenses. So if you're looking at a game this week to maybe entertain, that's the game. Deerfield, one of the best defenses around. Against St. Thomas, same thing as well. Now you're going to have every week a survival game in the 6A division. Carroll City, Norland, Central, and Northwestern are all going to be playing over the next couple of weeks, and that's going to kind of shake things out. We already had the first Florida High School Athletic Association poll that came out with these standings, and it was nice to see it, but after yesterday, things changed because two teams that were supposed to be district winners lost. So, you know what? Wake me when it's over. going down the stretch and figuring out and predicting who's going to be, in the deal. Let's let this thing shake out 4 or 5 more weeks, and we'll have everybody that's in play. So, and it's going to be exciting at all classes. So, I'm really excited about it as well. Thanks to Kalani Norris, who opened up our second hour here on the South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. When we come back, we have the McDonald's Team of the Week, head coach Kevin Huntley from Nova, and Sean Shivers, one of the top running backs in the country, on his way to Auburn from Chaminade Madonna. Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Wednesday evening. Larry Bluestein with you, our second hour of 2 hours. We thank so much Kalani Norris from Christopher Columbus for taking the time to join us this evening. Outstanding talent. And as we said, with two huge wins like that, I mean, on a Friday, on a Thursday to beat Miami High and then come back on Tuesday or Monday, actually, and beat Miami Booker T. Washington. That's two huge wins. Talking about huge wins, one of the programs in Broward County not getting the props, but they certainly have gotten off to a tremendous start. Nova Titans. I know Zach Krantz is all excited every time we talk about Nova, and certainly they are the McDonald's team of the week. And joining us this evening is the head coach, Kevin Huntley. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations on a great start so far.
I appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
This is, this is one of these things. You were here 2 years ago in the same situation. A lot of non-believers. Your kids worked extremely hard. You realized the dream, and you said to me after, "This is. We don't want to just win one. We want to keep this thing going." And this year, you're back, and the kids looked extremely good the other night against South Broward. They have the whole year. Talk about this team and, you know, how it's gotten to this point.
You know, it's always a work in progress, you know, when you're trying to build a program and put your fingerprints on it. And fortunately for us, we've got a good mix of kids this year that have a lot of their first taste of our program was that season. So, you know, they got a little sample size of it and wanted to get back to that point. We were super young last year. We only had really five seniors that contributed. So they knew if they stayed together, stay focused on what the plan was and what the process was, there were good things were to come. And we're starting to see it come together a little bit. You know, obviously the season's still young. We're only at the midpoint. But they got a little taste of it, of what could be.
You know, not an easy program to build at. No defined feeder program. The kids are there on their education basis because of the fact it's still a lottery system to get into Nova, and that's what takes precedence. Obviously, education at that school, the hours are a little bit different than most. So the kid that you get is going to be wired a little bit differently than most of the kids around the county. That's been probably a tough obstacle in some ways, but in other ways, when you do hit gold with a kid who's an intelligent kid that can play the game, then obviously you could start building. That's what looks like you have now.
Yeah, that's kind of what we get. You know, like you said, it is a challenge. You know, a lot of schools have the ability where kids have natural chemistry. They've grown up together. They're in the neighborhood together. And our kids, most of the time, the only time they spend together is on the practice field or in the meeting room. So we have to work just as hard to kind of build that chemistry and that camaraderie amongst the kids. But again, we have the obstacle of parents send their students here, not necessarily for the sport,
sure,
but for the academic piece. So the kids, you know, oftentimes are wired a little differently, like you said, because they're more on the intellectual side. And some of the challenges when we get into issues where they have to make a decision between, not necessarily make a decision, but find a balance between sports and academics. Sometimes right. The parents kind of push them the other way. So we're starting to get to a place where the kids and the parents and the families and the shareholders involved are starting to understand what we're trying to do in terms of bolstering the academic side and still put a quality product on the football field.
Coach Kevin Huntley joins us, Nova High School. And, Coach, just because you play high-level college or in the NFL, it's never easy to understand every facet of the game that these kids play sometimes. You know, I mean, you look at him, you think, well, this kid's perfect for our system, but then all of a sudden he goes to a 7-on-7 with somebody else. You've kind of put it into perspective that you teach and you coach what you know. I mean, and if the kids aren't happy, they could leave. But you've always seemed to me that anybody you talk to on your team and your coaching staff is tremendous as well. You have a lot of veteran faces in there, which is always a great equalizer. But talk about that. I mean, teaching the sport of football, because like I said, some of the kids that you get may not have had that tremendous youth football career and have had all those experiences. So you're getting a lot of kids maybe in the 9th and 10th grade, maybe playing the sport or a different position for the first time before.
Yeah, we get quite a bit of that. You know, I just literally just walked off the field from our JV team tonight, and a lot of our kids, this is their first real experience with regard to organized tackle football. I think being a teacher helps. You know, in order to be a coach, at least a quality coach, you have to teach. You have to teach the game. You have to teach some level of understanding of it. It's not just a matter of lining the kids up and running them, just let them go wild and throw the ball
out
there. You know, so this, you know, the beauty that I have, I'm really lucky. I'm going to be honest. I'd love to say it's all me. It's great, but that is 100% not the case. I've really got a good support system behind me. I've got some really quality coaches. And like you said, a mix of young and old. And I think that helps with some of the kids. It brings some experience. It brings some game knowledge and whatnot. But it also brings a level of understanding. The kids know that ultimately my coaching staff, we are all there for their best interest. So it helps in terms of their buy-in and their willingness to take and appreciate and understand what it is that we're trying to get across to them.
Coach Kevin Huntley joining us, Nova High School, undefeated Nova, taking on Fort Lauderdale this week, a non-district game, but always important, obviously. How has the student body taken to this? Because I know that's always kind of, you know, especially because the times that you guys go to school and it's not always easy to wrestle everybody back to the school for a game. But how have they, you know, accepted this, you know, because, I mean, like you said, baseball's won with Coach McQuaid throughout the years. Football is won, but not, you know, of recent other than 2 years ago. How did you find like the administration or the teachers and the students embrace, you know, being 4-0 and being in the spotlight?
The administration has been great. They've been awesome in terms of working with us, working with our kids, and finding ways that we can balance both the academic and athletics. The teaching staff has been fantastic. You know, it's great to come in after a game and get that pat on the back and see their faces in the crowd and see them after the game. And, you know, they're knowledgeable and really following what the kids have been able to do. And I think it really helps the kids in that regard, knowing that they're not just out there running around. They're getting support from their administrators, from their teachers, and even the student body. You know, there was a little buzz at first because, you know, we have some kids that are involved in a lot of extracurricular activities.
Sure.
But you put one, two, three together, and, you know, there's that buzz that's coming that the kids, the student body at least, is excited to see what could happen.
Yeah, and no doubt. I mean, and like I said, I mean, I've seen it before with Coach McQuaid, and he gets that, you know, gets that school juiced up when his baseball team has done well. The girls' basketball team went on quite a long run and as always fielding a pretty good team. So now the football program gets in there. You have a lot of kids, like I said, that can play the game. One of them, Sean Peterson, who's on his way to University of South Florida. Talk about a kid like that. I mean, here's a very talented young man, great size, tremendous athlete who'll play on both sides if he needs to play for you. Talk about having a guy like that who's a senior, who's been with the program since the beginning.
It's truly a blessing, you know, because it'd be real easy for him to, you know, swell his head up and feel real good about the things that he's accomplished. But he's a humble kid. He's a hard worker. He comes to practice every day, puts in the work just like every other kid in the team. You know, he doesn't put himself any higher. The kid, you know, and the kids don't look at him in any other special light other than he's their teammate.
Yeah.
And he carries himself that way on and off the field. You know, he's great in the classroom. He's great in the hallways in terms of interacting with his peers and with adults and whatnot on campus. All the feedback that I get from the college coaches that have interacted with him is, you know, they're very pleased at how he handles himself. And for me as a coach, you know, I couldn't ask for any more to have, you know, a top flight athlete like that, that's that humble and that carries himself in that manner. And I think it was to his benefit to see the way some of the kids that came before him carried themselves.
Yeah.
We try to get our kids to carry themselves and treat the way they go about their business as being pillars of the community. You know, we're always trying to make the kids something better than just a football player. So when they go back into their communities and into their neighborhoods, into their churches and whatnot, that they carry themselves in the high light and do things the right way.
Before we let you go, one of the probably perks of you being a coach is to have your own son there on the sideline. I got a chance to see him the other day. It looks like a kid that wants to play this game. Talk about that and being able to teach him right there firsthand and letting him learn from a lot of the, like you mentioned, a lot of the veteran coaches that you have and a lot of the players. What's it like for him? What's the experience been for him?
I think it's been good so far. You know, I was worried about him as a dad, not necessarily as a coach, but as a dad. I sheltered him a little bit in terms of getting him involved in the tackle football game. I just know football is not a not a sport of longevity.
Yeah.
So I tried to extend it as long as I could. But he's picked up quite a bit. You know, like I said, I'm blessed to have a really good coaching staff. They teach the kids. They care about the kids. They, you know, they're not just they teach them and they care them and they pull them in. And he's been able to absorb a lot of that. We've got a good locker room. We've got good leaders on the team like Sean, and they've embraced them. They, you know, sometimes it's tough being the coach's kid.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure it is. But he looks like he was having some fun, and certainly I'm sure he's picking up a lot of pointers on the sideline there and watching. And like you said, you got the best of both worlds, Coach, and off to a great start. And congratulations again on being our McDonald's Team of the Week, and keep it up.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you recognizing the kids' hard work, and hopefully we can, you know, put one together at one after the other and keep it going, like you said.
Good stuff. Coach, I appreciate you checking in with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Kevin Huntley from Nova, off to an undefeated start and doing a tremendous job playing Fort Lauderdale this week. And tough to get recognition sometimes when you have those marquee teams in town and you know, the St. Thomas's and the Heritages are getting, and this year with Gibbons getting all the spotlight. Sometimes Nova being 4-0, you got to hit somebody over the head to kind of like let them see. And certainly they're off to a great start, and we thank Coach for joining us. One of the players, obviously, we've been watching for a while, youth football star, got to high school and is just tearing it up. And this year is a senior year. He's on the way to Auburn, just a marquee football player, great person to be around. He knows what he's doing, and ever since day one, he's been a spectacular football for Shaman Abadan. And Sean Shivers joins us this evening. Sean, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Anytime. This has been your career's gone quick. The high school, I mean, I remember when you came in. In fact, this class of 2018 came in, and a loaded class, a lot of talent, and you were right there at the head. And talk about that. Talk about what it's been like for the last 4 years for you, and you know, to come to this point where you already have a college picked out. Now it's just a matter of trying to get this team back to state and winning it.
Well, these past 4 years, you know, it's been like a dream, because ever since we touched up on our campus since the eighth grade, like, we went out to see the team play before us. We wanted to come and make the program better. And as we got freshman year, you know, freshman year is a little shaky, and then sophomore year we got it going. The junior year last year, we made it to the state finals, and we came up short. And it's just a blessing for us to come in, like, us four from the other Hurricanes to come in,
right,
and play a big part in bringing the program back for Shaman Abadan. And I'm just happy that where we're going right now, and we're looking forward to going back to state this year.
And not only that, I mean, you, Coach Damian Jones, got a schedule together this year that was really going to test you and make you stronger and spotlight you at all at the same time. Talk about the getting off with this schedule, because this has to make you a much better team.
Oh, yeah. You know, we put together a tough schedule, because we want to get ready for the playoffs, and we want to get ready for the state game. So, you know, we just keep getting better every week, and I'm kind of glad we played these big schools, because I feel like that's what we need. We need to play bigger teams, and teams that are like highly powerhouses,
right,
that have just as much talent as us. I'm just glad that we get to play like the American Heritage, Melmore, and Miami Central teams.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, because when you get to that next level, the college talent is going to be a lot better. And this definitely gets you ready. When you talk about this team, I mean, this is a program, a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Defense is extremely good. Talk about this program that you have, and some of the players that a lot of people may be missing all the time.
Well, I feel like players that coaches not really looking at like that will be C.J. Williams.
Yep.
Zachary Dixon, a linebacker.
Big time player.
Yeah. He's real good. He dominates wherever chance he has. He dominates.
Yes. He does.
Tariq Livingston.
Yep.
He's been my left. He could play left guard, left tackle. He's been my left guard and tackle since my sophomore year. You know, he played a big part in our offense and our run game. And I feel like coaches are really overlooking him because of his size, but he dominates as well. Every play he dominates.
Yeah. I remember when Corey Prince was younger and people said he was too short, but look at him now.
Oh, yeah, Corey. Yeah, he's huge.
I mean, you have to go against that defense, and that defense is pretty strong. I mean, and I've watched them up front. The linebacker play is real good, and your secondary is kind of lights out. I mean, obviously you have the speed to run against anybody, but what is it like going against your defense in scrimmages?
Well, what is it like going against my defense? You know, we compete all the time. We trash talk a little bit, like in school, because we know that they we're going to have a scrimmage, and we just talk. They always say, "Oh, Sean, you're not scoring today. You're not getting over 10 yards." And that like motivate us to get after each other and go hard. But stay healthy and not go too hard like you played a real game. But go to a extent that's getting us better.
I mean, and you do, and I've watched you, and I mean, you're extremely talented. Sean Jivers joining us. Talk about the Auburn commit. It was early on. I know that you, there's a lot to be thankful there and be happy about. Talk about that and the reasons behind it.
Well, first off, I love Auburn since the day I stepped on the Auburn campus. I fell in love with it since that day, and you know, just the communication with the coaches, with like all the coaches. Even though I play offense, even the defense coaches, we communicate as well. And when I go over there, it's still home. Every time I go there, it's home. They treat me well, and I love the offense that they produce. Like the running backs, Kerryon Justin, Fatway, and some of the former running backs that came through Auburn. They all had 1,000-yard seasons, and they use them in a slot. They can go off of seam routes, wheel routes, and I just love how they'll use me in the offense. And I love to be playing kick return and punt return when I get there.
I know you will. I know. I mean, and this is a program, an Auburn program, that always recruits well. And like you mentioned, they always get tremendous offensive linemen. They always give their protection to their running game. And obviously, you've prepared for this. I know that you've worked extremely hard. A lot of people don't see those early morning workouts or those summer workouts that you put in the weight room. And I know you work extremely hard, running track, keeping in the best shape. And obviously, when you go in big games against Heritage and when you play, you know, like last year in games down the stretch against Melbourne Central Catholic, you always rose to the top. You've always been like that, and I know that you have a huge passion for the game. Talk about that and how you developed that passion and a love for this sport.
Well, my passion is because you know I'm a lot shorter than others, than like the average running back, and that just motivate me that I got a chip on my shoulder, because I know the teams that we play gonna try to look at me because I'm small, that I can't do much. But when I hit the field, it's a different thing. So I just try to go hard at everything I do, 100%. I never take a play off. Everything I do is 110%.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just got to keep that same attitude throughout the year because, you know, we try to get back to the state finals.
And you know what, the program at Chaminade, like you said, I remember when you came in, a lot of people were talking, and within 2 years you went to state, which is perfect. And then this year you get a chance to go back and have an opportunity to go back. And that schedule, I told Coach Jones, that schedule is going to wear you down, but at the end of the year you guys will be better for it. And it's going to be exciting. You had a really good game against Piper this past week. Talk about that game as well and how you're seeing the holes a lot better now too.
Well, I just think that we since the Heritage game, we are being more dominant as a whole. We started out fast now. And I just think for me over the summer, I worked a lot of like on my jump cuts, with my running back coach, Coach Tate. We worked on a lot of cuts and getting back to a different direction.
Yep.
And I just think that it works over to the game.
Good stuff. Well, Sean, I appreciate you one more time taking the time to be with us tonight. I know a lot of people were talking about you. You've got off to an awesome start in your senior year. Certainly backing up everything everybody said about you. I'm proud of you, and you're doing an awesome job, and we're going to see you soon.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thanks for having me again.
You, anytime. Sean Shivers, Chaminade Madonna on her way to Auburn. Electrifying runner, as fast as you want to get. I'm telling you, this kid gets out in the open and put that six on the board. So exciting players. We've had everything tonight. Recruiting, we've had two of the most exciting players in South Florida and Kalani Norris, and also with Sean Shivers and Coach Kevin Huntley. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Wednesday evening, and it's been a great 2 hours. Coach Pat Cologne from North Miami joins us next. SchoolSports.com radio show for a Wednesday evening, 2 hour version, as we take you up until the top of the hour. Thanks so much to Sean Shivers, running back at Chaminade Madonna, for joining us. And also Coach Kevin Huntley from Nova, undefeated Nova Titans. Had an opportunity last night to go out to watch North Miami Beach, a game that is always a battle, and certainly one that will go a long way in determining a district playoff spot. This year is a little bit different, whereas it's not just what happens in your district. Unless you win the district title, you automatically qualify for the playoffs. But if you finish second and you're not better than the other at-large teams, you don't get to go. So in some districts, you get one teams. Others may get two and three. So it all depends. But certainly last night's game between North Miami and North Miami Beach will go a long way in determining that what happens in 8A in that region. And North Miami, coming into the game, had played extremely well, and North Miami Beach was undefeated in the regular season. They always have that big-time game. First game that ever was played between the two schools that wasn't played either at North Miami Stadium over or at Traz Powell. So that it was my lander because of the hurricane and everybody getting displaced and playing three games in 6 days, and certainly everything happening. But certainly North Miami comes out on the winning side, and first-year head coach Pat Cologne joins us this evening. Coach, congratulations on last night, and thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is just, you know, for you, you're like, I mean, a head coach coming in, first time here at North Miami, kind of like going along and everything's new to you, and then you get set back a little bit with the storm and you guys didn't get a chance to practice and all that hard work. Maybe you figure maybe the kids will forget what we taught them. But then you get back and you come up with a huge win against American, and then come up, which is a district game, and then last night against North Miami Beach, a team that a lot of people picked to win the district, and you guys did it in convincing fashion on both sides of the ball. Talk about where this program is right now and how big that win was for this program.
Well, first of all, you know, the things you mentioned are very real in terms of setback with the storm, but even prior to that, in the offseason, we had some setbacks from a facility standpoint and you know, our field being redone. And, you know, as coaches, we were always concerned about those things and, you know, wondering if the kids would you know, be in position to be prepared. And you know, we just was, you know, a bit hesitant about where we were at that moment with the program. And the kids, though, I must say they you know, they kept their composure. They kept fighting even when things weren't, you know, going their way in terms of practice conditions and always having the accessibility and things that they needed. And you know, they just stayed positive. And I, you know, to answer your question, our program is obviously headed in the right direction. We, you know, took a couple, you know, lumps in terms of going against Miami High and Southridge early on. And, you know, the hurricane allowed us to kind of, you know, press restart and kind of galvanize the troops and let them know that, hey, it's not done. And you know, let's just continue to fight and you know, build this thing and play game by game. And see what happens.
Yeah, and you've been associated with winning programs in the past, so you know the drill. You know what it takes to be at that level. Does it get frustrating for you sometimes? I mean, because you were watching kids, do what you wanted them to do in the last couple of years, and now you got kids who are really new, to this type of discipline and this type of structure. Does it get frustrating, or you figured, this is the way it's going to be until, they start learning a little bit more?
Well, listen,
kind of a loaded question there somewhere.
Yeah, but we, listen, just because you're blessed to, coach a better or athletes or kids who are more experienced, I should say, doesn't mean it's not, you don't have your frustrating moments, but,
sure.
Knowing, being in this line of business, you know that things can get frustrating or get a bit overwhelming, and you just have to believe in your process, those are things I learned from previous coaches that I've coached with, and just keep doing what you do and stay the course, and it'll work out and things will get better. And like any coach, you want things to, you want to see your fruits of your labor immediately.
Sure.
But, sometimes it don't work that way. And then, but in our case, I tell you what, man, our kids, man, they've really accepted us and embraced the new coaching staff, and embraced myself. And those kids want to be winners. Those kids believe in programs, and they're true pioneers. They are the kids that are true pioneers, and I say that to them because, those kids had an opportunity to leave like some of their teammates did, and they kept the faith. They believed that, what God had planned for them would lead them in the right direction, and right now we're sitting in a pretty good position, but this thing is far from over.
Yeah. Oh no. You're kind of beginning this war, but at least what coming out as we're speaking with Coach Pat Colon from North Miami, at least you came out last night and you made a statement. I mean, this is a program you guys got out to a big start, a big lead. You were hitting on offense. You've been playing well defensively all year, even in the Miami High game. You had some breakdowns, but defensively, you guys you're getting after the quarterback. You're making teams have to run on you a little bit more. But from an offensive standpoint, you guys came out yesterday and started throwing the ball. You mixed things up. Talk about that, because, I mean, in a county that is really not pass happy, North Miami got a little bit pass happy early, and it worked.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to take my hat off to Coach Patani, and I've competed against Coach Patani for years. In 2009, when I was a coordinator there, and even when I was at Kara City, we had a couple games, and he's always had his players prepared, no matter what type of players he had, and he does an excellent job there. And I told him after the game, I said, hey, I already know next year this thing here can easily flip, so I'm gonna always be ready for you, because he does a good job of having your kids prepared. But in terms of having an excellent passing attack, I have a great coordinator in Dayla, Antonio Brown, and he has our offense rolling and has our kids prepared. But Isaiah came on, man. We were playing a kid, Karan, at first, and he was doing well, but we just kind of figured we needed a shot in the arm, and we just, decide on to go with Isaiah Velez and see, what spark he can provide for us. And,
a junior, right?
He is a junior, and he took the bull by the horn. I tell you what, and both of those kids are awesome, and we feel that we can win with both of those kids. I can't say that. It's just, how football is. It's
sure.
a matter of teamwork and continuity and rhythm and things that work together, that synergy type of deal. And Isaiah is kind of, provide us our best shot with that.
Yeah, yeah, and he's you know, and everybody seemed to rally around him. You, like, yeah. I said, you run the ball when you needed to. Thank goodness for your little slants across the middle and seeming to work.
Hey,
and yeah, and,
hey, Larry, don't give up all our plays, man.
I'm sure people can watch that in the film and pick it up pretty close. But you guys did well, and you know, it was good to see a good game. And like you said, Bertani always brings it. He'll be they rewarded both of you this week. They're sending you down south to play Palmetto on South Dade, so so that's for that's so much for playing on Monday night. You get a chance to go down to the south end of the county. But Coach, we wanted to get you on and you know, just kind of point you out as doing a tremendous job and trying to turn the program around. I know that, you know, the programs like Booker T and Northwestern and Carroll City always get the publicity, but some of those schools that play a really good brand of football, and last night you guys did that. And you know, you look at the future, and like you said to me last night, we have a lot of young kids, and as long as these young kids pick up good habits, good things will happen. And I agree with you.
Absolutely. And you know, I'll be remiss if I don't mention our administrative team at North Miami. And, you know, we have such a good support system at North Miami in helping our football players. You know, it's a really good environment and great place to be. And so, you know, it's a lot of parts that goes into this deal that, you know, you don't see on the field that, you know, that's making this thing kind of click right now.
Yeah.
And you know, but again, like I told our kids today, hey, you know, celebration is over.
back to work.
Yeah. So and we got to keep this thing going. And we're excited, Darren. And thanks for having me.
Anytime. Anytime, Coach. You know, I mean, we're in your corner and you're doing a tremendous job. And that's all that counts. And I appreciate you coming on with us.
All right, no doubt.
Good stuff. Pat Cologne, head coach, North Miami. Wrapped up an awesome show. Sean Shivers joined us. Coach Kevin Huntley from Nova. Kalani Norris from Christopher Columbus. In the first hour, we had recruiting. Jackie Franchilli from the Florida Gators. Brandon Sinone, FSU. Andrew Ivins, Miami Hurricanes. And Corey Bender from Scout. That'll wrap it up for a two-hour show. We're back next week. Get to your best high school game this week and show your support.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.